Audrey Assad, and now we'll turn it over to Brother Steve.
Oh, there he is. He's raising it up. I see him back there. Good job. You know, I'm pretty amazed. I've got to admit. I mean, we had Friday night meeting, and then we had Saturday 3 o'clock, and then, so we had two then. Then we ate and had it again. And then we came here this morning, this afternoon. I didn't think anybody would be here. I'm pretty amazed. I think you deserve, you could do it if you want. I don't know if you're allowed, you know, but I'd give myself a hand for you. Boy, that's amazing for you to be able to do that. Yeah, go ahead. You can clap. They always say the speaker. Oh, isn't that so terrible? The speaker, he's got to speak. I can't believe people will listen that long. That's amazing to me. And I'm not kidding. It's a hard weekend. It's been a blessed weekend, certainly, but it's not easy. I did hear a couple of you, they will remain nameless, but I heard a couple of you saying, you've already had a few meetings, right? You gotta go to another meeting. I heard that. I don't blame you. I don't blame you at all. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for coming to the conference, listening not just to me, but to Al as well. Great music. Boy, did I appreciate that song. Oh, the last song we had, how thankful we are for those that gave. I couldn't help, every time I have that Ray Bolt CD where that song came from, Ray Bolt. And every time I hear that, I think of those folks who gave because I got an opportunity at a Bible study that was put on by the Friends of Israel Ministry in California. I wouldn't have heard the way I heard had it not been for people who gave. Boy, that's just a great song, and the music was wonderful. Thanks for coming out. I trust the word ministered to you. That last message was, and no joke at all, hard to listen to, wasn't it? It was hard to listen to. Suffering all over the place. And, you know, we went out to Starbucks right after we heard that. There's 25,000 people who don't have anything. Hard message to listen to. We've got a lot of things to think about. And I trust that the Spirit of God would captivate us and make us creative so that we can indeed try to address some of the situations that we have in front of us. I was going to preach one message and decided to change. Actually, not that long ago. And for a number of different reasons. But I'd like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans. Book of Romans. You've heard a lot of different things. I know I gave you a lot of different things to think about, certainly from a Jewish point of view. And we've heard a lot of different things as it relates to several countries, and the last one being Africa. But in Romans chapter, well, in the book of Romans, we have Paul talking about, first he wants to address the idea of sin. And he's talking about Jewish people and Gentiles, not in that order. First he starts off with Gentiles. And he talks about the fact that Gentiles should be aware of God because of nature. And in Romans chapter 1, he talks about that. You know, we should be able to, and boy, the weather down here, you probably didn't even notice your blue sky. Not a cloud anywhere. The sun is as bright as can be. You're looking around, I see impatience, that my favorite plant, impatience. Just everywhere, lush. You know, we can look around, and if for no other reason, just looking around, we ought to be able to see God's handiwork. Be able to ask ourselves, man, where did all this beauty come from? Man somehow do this? No, man didn't do this. This is from God. And Paul talks about the fact that instead, the Gentiles exchanged truth that they've seen for a lie. And he condemns the Gentiles, the sinner. Well, Jewish people, chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "But if thou art called a Jew, and restest on the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself are a guide of the blind, a light of them that are in darkness. I'll drop down to verse 28. So he's really getting on the Jewish people as well. And he says, for he is not a Jew as one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly. Circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not of the letter, whose praise of not of men, but of God. So in the first two chapters, Paul's going to talk about Gentiles, he's going to talk about Jews, and he's going to talk about the fact that they're both sinners.
Sin.
God is a respecter of no person. And so in essence, it seems, it doesn't matter who you are, we're condemned, utterly, hopeless, and helpless. We're in big trouble. And then in chapter 3, he asks a question in verse 1. What advantage, then, hath the Jew? Or, what profit is there in circumcision? That's a fair question to ask, in light of what he's just said. Now, you haven't had a chance to read it yet, but hopefully you got an idea. Go home and check the first two chapters out. But he asks the question, so, what's the big deal in being Jewish? We're all sinners. We all fall short. We're all condemned. God doesn't respect any person, so is there any advantage? You know what he says? Much in every way. Whoa. Freddie and I, we're in pretty good shape. I don't know where you are, Freddie. Where are you? No, you're, there he is. Yeah, he's got a smile on his face. Hey, Paul says, what advantage is there in being Jewish? Hey, much in every way. Oh, I can strut my stuff. Why is there an advantage since we're all under sin, we're all condemned? God's not a respecter of persons. Paul says, much in every way, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. Now, wait a minute. I have an advantage in being Jewish because I've been given the Word of God. Well, you know, now I can't really take a whole lot of credit. I just happened to be born in a Jewish family. I didn't do anything. But as I look at the history of my people, and this I think is definitely pertinent to us, as we look at the history of the Jewish people, we understand that the book that we have in our hand is a Jewish book. It's Jewish. Not just the Older Testament text. Alright, you want to debate about Luke? You can debate. I'm no scholar. Never thought of myself as a scholar. Never will. Scholars debate Luke. But he wrote Luke and Acts. Now you want to go back to the Older Testament text, you got the book of Job, who was a contemporary of Abraham. So okay, you got three books. I don't mind giving you three books. You're Gentiles. You can have three. We get 63. That's a lot. That's an awful lot. And Paul says, look, the advantage to being Jewish is simply this. It was through the Jewish people that the Word of God came. It was through the Jewish people that the prophets came. It was through the Jewish people that the Messiah of Israel came. And the Messiah of Israel, who became flesh, is the Word. The Word of God becoming flesh and dwelling among us. The Word itself. So Paul says, what advantage is there in being Jewish? What profit is there in circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. And then it asks this question. For what if some did not believe? Now some of my Jewish brethren have no idea what that means. Some didn't believe? Oh, yes. Just because you're born Jewish, just because you're part of the chosen people in a physical way, you realize that there's some who don't believe. Now, I know some of you are saying, that's right, some Jewish people don't believe in Jesus. That's not what he's talking about here. Go back to the Old Testament. Look at the history of Israel. There are all kinds of us who didn't believe. You know, we wrote the book. We have a Yiddish word. It means to, actual word is bircha. It means to complain.
Well, what?
I'm complaining. I mean, 10 plagues in Egypt, 430 years in bondage. We get out after 10 miracles. Wander up to the water, Egyptians behind us, water in front of us. I mean, we just had experienced and seen the power of God over all the gods, false gods of Egypt. And what's the first thing we do? We almost kill Moses. We want to kill him. Had better to be back in Egypt with the leeks and the garlic. They could have used some mouthwash probably, but with the leeks and the garlic than to be stuck out here. Unbelievers. Or how about when Moses is up in the mountain getting the law directly from God? There's the people there were saying, oh, Moses isn't coming back. Now we're in trouble here, stuck in the desert. Maybe you ought to appease the gods. And they make Aaron build an idol. Moses comes down. I can't believe this. So he draws a line in the sand. And he asks the children of Israel, who is on the Lord's side? Talking to Jews. Just experienced the power of God. So, it's going to be a mad rush, isn't there? Oh, no. Oh, no. Only one tribe of 12 crosses the line. Jewish people who don't believe. What about Elijah? 450 prophets of Baal. I mean, a great spiritual victory. I mean, he goes up against them, shows that his God is superior to all their gods, and they beat on themselves, and they're pummeling their body, and they're calling down for their gods to take the sacrifice. Doesn't work. He calls on the living God, and bingo, it's taken. But now Jezebel's after him, and oh, Elijah, oh, he's heading for the hills. Really, he's heading for the valley where the water's flowing, and he's hiding out, and he's nervous. He says, oh, God, you know, I believe. I'm the only one that believes. Well, the fact of the matter is there were 7,000 that had not bowed the knee to Baal. 7,000? It's not a whole lot. The fact of the matter is, Paul is saying, look, it doesn't matter. There's still an advantage in being Jewish, even if some of those Jews didn't believe. And they didn't. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? You know, we're testimonies for Jesus Christ. If you profess Him to be your Savior, truly receive Him in your heart, you are a believer. And we are witnesses. Now, you could be a good witness or a bad witness. But you are a witness. One way or the other. For some people, you might be the only example of a Christian they meet. Now, I'm telling you, I've blown it in my day. I remember when I first became a believer, I went home, told my younger sister all about Christ. Only, I gotta tell you, I didn't say, oh, you gotta see this, I think this is great, tell me what you think, and then try to be understanding and all that. I didn't do that. I just was so convinced in my mind that what worked for me would certainly work for her, and I rammed it down her throat. I mean, rammed it. And was shocked that she wouldn't believe. You know, it took her, and I don't know if she's fully recovered, it took her a long time to even want to talk to me. A long time. I was about as bad a witness. If this is what a Christian is, or how many of you have ever encountered somebody after they encountered one of our brethren? Only it was a negative thing. Oh, you're one of those. Uh-oh. Yeah, Paul writes, and he says, look, but what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in the sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? God forbid. May it never be. When we think of the Jewish people, when we think of the Jewish texts, and understand that what Paul's trying to show is that Gentiles are sinners, Jewish people are sinners. When we try to understand, what does all that, what does that mean to us? What about sin? Where did sin originate? Where did it come from? Sin came from Satan. Now, understand what I'm saying. Satan was the one who wanted to be like God. Sin did not originate with man. He was in a garden. He was with his wife. Things were going good. And God told him what they could do and one thing they couldn't do. But then Satan came in front of Eve, and he already had a past. His past was Isaiah chapter 14 and Ezekiel chapter 28. In essence, I will be like the Most High. So now he fell. And now he wants to take as many as he can. So he's going to God's creation, Adam and Eve. And so we see that he passed the sin on to Adam. Adam has responsibility. Adam passes that sin on to us. And you say, how's that? I think I've said this here before, but you know, we're sinners. And guess who you get to blame? You know whose fault it is? Your mom and dad. So, people, look at your dad, your mom, say, look, I'm a sinner, but it's all your fault. It's all your fault. I wouldn't be a sinner if it wasn't for you. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them either, but you wouldn't be a sinner either. Well, they look at you and say, well, you know what, you're right. But it wasn't our fault. Our moms and dads. And we can trace our sin all the way to the first man and the first woman. So, sin is passed through Adam. And we know that it's universal. Everybody falls under its condemnation. And we know that the consequences of sin is fatal. Death. And we know there's only one remedy. We know that sin separates us. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 says, sin has separated us from God. There's a void. There's a gulf. We know that sin is an act that violates the will of God. It's not his will that we should sin. We know sin is a condition. It's a condition. It's a sickness. It's a problem that has to be dealt with. It's a condition that falls on man, and we know that sin is a nature. Sin nature. Our sin nature is an enemy to the holiness and person of God. We're his enemy. On our own, standing by ourselves, we're his enemy. But you see, Jesus Christ came to the earth to solve all that, to fix it. And the only way to fix it, the only way to be in the presence of God, is to be righteous. And Paul's argument in the book of Romans first to show us our condition. And it doesn't matter if you're Jewish. It doesn't matter if you're Gentile. It doesn't matter if you're a man. Doesn't matter if you're a woman. Doesn't matter if you're a child. Doesn't matter if you're a senior citizen. Doesn't matter if you're black. Doesn't matter if you're white. You know, I majored in sociology. Have a degree in sociology. Did all kinds of research and all kinds of stuff. And our society's trying to be able to fix mankind. Somehow we throw money after it or programs. We think we can fix it. The problem that man has is we're sinful. We're utterly helpless and hopeless. And if God, right now, this moment, would take an overhead projector and project our thoughts for everybody to see, does that frighten you? It frightens me.
It does. Even when we come into a sanctified building like this, sometimes things go through our brain. I mean, we wouldn't want anybody to see what's up there. You know what? We are vile people. But, thanks be to God, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, that condition is solved. Because now we become new creatures. Now some of us haven't gotten the message. Some of us still live like the old nature. We feed it. And I think all of us are guilty of that one time or another. The only question with the Christian is, which nature do you want to feed? Unbelievers only have one option. They don't have the new nature. So they're stuck. The believer has two natures. The old nature is there, kind of bothering him. That's why Paul writes, that which I should do, I don't do. That's Paul writing. He's a pretty powerful guy. He's written much of the New Testament. A holy guy. That which I should do, I don't do. And what I do, man, I wish I didn't do. Oh, wretched man that I am. You know, the Christian life, in one sense, can be more frustrating than a person who's not a Christian. Because we have a conscience. The Spirit of God convicts us. Because we begin to strive with ourselves. Man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? But you know, there's good news. The more we are willing to turn things over to Him, turn them over, literally, give them back. That's where Christ talks about His yoke is easy. It's easy if we give it to Him. It's hard when we want to carry it ourselves. I don't know. Men, I think, particularly, are the kind that like to carry things. I don't know. Macho, I'm not sure if we're even built kind of that way. We kind of, you know, want to make sure our wives are okay and kids are okay, and we got to make sure that we, you know, we fix everything. But the Christian life is one where we turn it back to God. And so as I thought about this evening's service, I thought about, first of all, how many meetings you've been sitting through. And I didn't want to keep you the whole time, I confess. But I did want us to get an idea what Paul was talking about. Jewish people have contributed mightily to us. We're no better. Some of us think we're better. You ever meet a Jewish person like that? Who thinks that they're better? Maybe you've met too many like that. We're no better. But the contribution that we've made to you is one that I hope you'll thank God for. Thank God. Wow. It was a Jewish person that paid the penalty of sin for me. It was the Jewish people who preserved the Word of God. And what I hold in my hand is a result of their efforts. In fact, many died making sure that the Word of God that I hold in my hand is exactly the way it was given in the original text. And I can know that. And I can count on it. We ought to thank God for that. But then we ought to get the message of what Romans is talking about. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus the Messiah, our Lord. I think it's fitting we close with that, knowing that forgiveness of sin has been paid for fully through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What advantage is there in being Jewish? Quite a bit. I got saved because I believed Jewish stuff. I knew I was a sinner. By the time I was in junior high, I knew I was a sinner. I knew I was helpless and hopeless. But I didn't know the good news. It took a few years later when I heard the good news. But the law condemns me, and I knew it. That's the advantage a Jewish person has. I think some Christians, people raised in a Christian home, they're obviously not born Christian, you're born into a Christian home,
Some of you have had that advantage. But you've never trusted Christ, nor you're playing games. Well, it'd be good for you to check the scriptures. It'd be good for you to analyze your life and think about it. How we're living. We're not living for God. Well, I was challenged, particularly by that last message, as I think of people giving their lives and going halfway across the world, trying to solve a problem that's impossible to solve, and yet willing to give what they can. Boy, that's the mark of a Christian. Here we are in our Jerusalem. I'm not going to ask, what have you done? I'm going to ask, who are you? Are you comfortable with who you are? You claim the name of Christ. Are you comfortable with that? Are you doing all you can where you are for Him? Are you proud, as it were, to be called a Christian? Because you're living your life for the Christ who died for you. Let's try to be like Him in every aspect of our life. Let's pray. Our Father, we come before You this evening, grateful for a wonderful weekend. I know that some folks couldn't make it to every single meeting. I'm thankful for the ones they went to. I'm thankful for those who were able to go to each one, and for the messages that we've heard, for the songs that ministered to our hearts, for the stories that we were able to hear. Thank You. Lord, we've been challenged with a lot of different things. And I pray that we would have the time to kind of let it percolate in our minds and in our hearts. May we indeed think about why You brought us here to the earth, what You have us to do. How do we represent You every single day? Do we make You proud as Your children in our daily activities? Lord, lots of questions. You can provide those answers. I pray that we would live our life in such a way that You would be proud of us. I pray we would walk the walk and talk the talk equally. Lord, dismiss us with Your mercy and Your goodness and Your kindness, but have us be that way with people around us. Lord willing, tomorrow is Monday morning. Ooh. Lord, I shudder at Mondays. Many people do. I pray that we would have a genuine smile on our face, that we would have the joy of the Lord, that we would have a good word for those around us, and that we would indeed emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just, Lord willing, tomorrow, but every day for Your honor and glory.